Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
But I'm just a guy. I'm not a cop. I'm not in the Secret Service. I'm telling you what their explanation was. And finally, I spoke with another spokesperson for the U.S. Secret Service as well on Tuesday. They probably got my address now, right? You know, so you have a daughter that goes to college out in New York, right? Okay.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Decision, Wisconsin, big day today.
And here we go.
That's right. Here we go. Both candidates in Wisconsin at the very same time.
But Vince, far apart today.
But far apart, but then...
much closer Friday.
Yes. So President Trump is in Green Bay along with Brett Favre. That's tonight at the Rest Center. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris is at UW-Madison tonight. So she's set to speak at 8:30, but that event starts later this afternoon on campus there. So both candidates in Wisconsin on the same day. Doesn't get any more intense than that, does it? Or actually, yes, it does.
This is what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
So which one is immovable and which one's unstoppable? Anyway, on Friday night, both candidates will be in Milwaukee at the same time. Trump will be at Fiserv Forum around 7 o'clock. Now, Vice President Harris is expected in Milwaukee that night as well, according to her campaign. We don't have a location yet. You would expect a location that would be of similar size, though, right? Because of the optics. You wouldn't want to do something small if your candidate, the person you're running against is down the street.
The time for the small meet and greets, too, is quickly passing, right? At this point, you want big crowds, big rallies, maximum deliverables.
So that would either be what? State Fair, AmFam Field, maybe Summerfest Grounds, something like that.
Could be a Veterans Park, too, but you probably have to start to see build out for that if you needed to put up a stage, things like that. But right, you're thinking large venue.
So yeah, 2 days now, today and then on Friday, both candidates back in Wisconsin.
A good time to bring this up since we're going to be seeing a number of motorcades in Wisconsin this week. The new information here that I have on the near miss on the Milwaukee freeway between one of our local drunks and the vice president of the United States. I have been uncomfortable, E, and I don't know, you can tell me if I've been off on this, but it feels like a sort of a shoulder shrug. Beyond the first day or two of reporting on this, when the video came out, that this incident seems to be getting. It's sort of been like, well, yeah, this happened, but nothing came of it, so all good.
Well, especially because of what we've seen this past couple of months with what happened with the former president.
So I felt like the story just had questions that weren't answered and why we all just sort of moved on. And we're like, yeah, all right. So I spoke with the chief communications officer for the United States Secret Service. And he had some new details to share on that incident from more than a week ago now. You know I've raised the alarm because I've wondered how it's possible a vehicle could get that close to the vice president. We, of course, are, as you mentioned, under heightened awareness as somebody actually shot her opponent in this race already, former President Trump. So in a nutshell, what I heard from the U.S. Secret Service was, you kind of don't know what you don't know. We did have this under control. I'll detail that further in a moment, but first just to reset. Remember, a little over a week ago, Vice President Harris, somewhere in the motorcade of vehicles, headed back to Milwaukee Mitchell International following her campaign event, which was in Brookfield earlier in the evening. Got the DOT video up that we, TMJ4, obtained this from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. You can watch on our YouTube channel. You click watch on our digital app or WTMJ.com or text watch to 855-616-1620. Likely you've seen the video already, but if you haven't, it's up there now. And I'll let TMJ4's Mary Jo Ola pick it up from there.
You can see Vice President Kamala Harris's motorcade with flashing lights traveling on I-94 to the airport. Then an SUV moves in coming from the opposite direction before Milwaukee County Sheriff's deputies pull the driver over.
So, right, you've got lead law enforcement vehicles out in front of the vice president's vehicle, press and support staff vehicles as well, all involved in the motorcade. Passing by them on their left is this white SUV going the wrong way on the freeway. Once past the motorcade, authorities stopped and arrested 55-year-old Wayne Wacker. They say his blood alcohol level was 0.25, more than three times the legal limit for driving. They also say that he had no idea what he was doing and intended no harm to Vice President Harris. So this was not an attempt of him to interrupt the motorcade. He just was hammered and got on the freeway going the wrong way. It, however, leaves open questions as to how some drunk was able to do that, get that close, lest he had been an assassin or someone with nefarious intent. So I spoke Tuesday, after submitting a series of written questions to the U.S. Secret Service, with Anthony Guglielmi, and he is Chief of Communications for the Secret Service, the top spokesperson inside the U.S. Secret Service. Some of our conversation was off the record. Some of it was flat out Maverick Top Gun.
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Jeez.
No, he never said that. But Guglielmi did say on multiple occasions, I'd like to tell you more, but you understand why I can't. You understand why.
Of course, right. Can't share the pertinent information that they use to protect VIPs.
Because some of what the U.S. Secret Service does is diversionary. Some of it is deception. Mm-hmm. You have multiple vehicles that look exactly the same, yep, so you don't know which one the package, as they call it, is in.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that motorcade is even the motorcade.
Yeah. Right. Is the VP even in that motorcade?
Right. So there were a number of things that he said, I'd like to tell you more about this, but you understand why I can't. And I do. A few things that I can quote him directly on. He said the incident did not pose a threat to Vice President Harris. That's the baseline for everything to follow. Flat out, the U.S. Secret Service stands by that statement. The incident did not pose a threat to Vice President Harris. How can that be? Because you watch this vehicle drive right by the motorcade. So he went on to detail a few reasons why they can say that the incident didn't pose a threat. Significantly, the oncoming vehicle had no effect, he said, on the speed of the motorcade. Why does this matter? You and I were speaking with another law enforcement source the other day, and this source told me the motorcade moves forward. So when you're in it, your job is to continue advancing at a quick pace.
You're not going to stop the motorcade.
Right. And so that sort of backs up what this chief of communications for the Secret Service is saying. The motorcade is safest when it's moving forward at a good clip, and that effort was not impeded. So the speed of the motorcade didn't change, the direction, the motorcade was still moving forward. Here's the bigger takeaway in my conversation with him. It appears there's no reaction from law enforcement vehicles in the motorcade as this other just rogue SUV is approaching. It appears there's no reaction when you watch the video. He says that's not the case. According to Guglielmi, and the chief spokesperson for the U.S. Secret Service, he tells me some of the vehicles in the motorcade did change position. So repositioned based on the fact that they had this SUV approaching.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, vehicles in the motorcade that serve a purpose were repositioned. You can sort of read between the lines, but what he's saying. What purpose specifically? What countermeasures might those vehicles have been able to deploy if necessary? That falls under the, I could tell you, but then I didn't.
Right, right.
So speaking of countermeasures, Guglielmi also said Secret Service assets in that case have various options, and he could say more, but quote, I wish I could tell you the reason why I can't. I just can't.
Mm.
So there was a lot of that. What he's saying is there's a level of protection that's afforded the vice president. So the operation is called a rolling bubble. That's how they protect the sitting vice president, and only one notch below what the president himself would receive in a motorcade, which is even tighter road and freeway shutdowns. Guglielmi said it's how the VP travels around Washington or wherever she is. So that was the standard protocol. He also addressed this, because why wasn't that exit ramp blocked off? Preventing, if they're blocking off all these entrance ramps, why don't you, it's another point of entry, right? How was that not preventing someone from entering the freeway, ended up going the wrong way? Guglielmi shared that if there were an emergency, obviously, the motorcade needs to get off the freeway.
There has to be openings for you to get off.
Yes. So you couldn't put up hard barricades or cement blocks or anything like that, because they do have to be able to get off. Now, could you have positioned a state patrol vehicle there or something? You only have so many assets. So apparently they didn't. And again, they were comfortable with the protocol. Why didn't any of the lead vehicles intervene before the SUV got to the motorcade? Guglielmi said that the timing was such that while they could have, and law enforcement, he said, in those lead vehicles, has the authority to act in that situation. They don't need to ask for permission. Everybody knows what their job is.
They could divert if they thought, if they felt compelled to do so.
Yes. He said one of those lead vehicles could get in the way of that oncoming thing, that they are authorized to do that. But he said, from what he's seeing in the video, that the timing was just such that the move was make sure everybody knows that this is coming and then reposition those assets within the bubble as opposed to getting in front of this vehicle. That's the assessment that they made. That one's hardest for me to reconcile with. Again, given where we are right now, what we've already seen. The fact that somebody actually shot former President Trump.
Right.
And there were a lot of people with their own eyes who looked up and said, hey, how come that guy's on the roof, right? And things weren't done. So that one is, that one's harder for me to accept, that perhaps the better protocol would not have been one of those lead vehicles just getting in front of whoever this is. And if they crash into the squad, fine, whatever.
But you keep that vehicle. Going, right,
yes, yeah, you keep that vehicle away. But I'm just the guy. I'm not a cop. I'm not in the Secret Service. I'm telling you what their explanation was. And finally, I spoke with another spokesperson for the U.S. Secret Service as well on Tuesday. They probably got my address now, right? They know so you have a daughter that goes to college out in New York, right? Okay. No, they were super cool. And he just said, agents train specifically for motorcade detail. They know their roles. They know the procedures. And both guys here from the Secret Service with whom I spoke are saying they believe proper protocol was followed in this case.
All right.
Questions asked, questions answered. Whether or not you accept those answers, that's on you. But I share this information with you this morning. 8:23 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
There's lots of talk about what's happening tomorrow on the program.
A lot of buzz.
Lots of buzz,
a lot of feedback, a lot of anticipation.
Just like when the Brewers in the playoffs. Lots of buzz right now about what's going to be on this very program tomorrow. Tomorrow, of course, is Halloween. And what we'd like to do on this program is produce a Halloween scary radio show for you. So tomorrow, around 8:40, will be the debut of Wisconsin's Morning News' third annual Halloween radio show entitled Solomon's Shovel. And Vince absolutely loves it.
I thought you were going to play. I thought you were going to play a little piece.
Oh, okay.
Of
you want
it.
A little snippet?
Yeah, no. All right. I want to hear how it's coming together. What in the... What is happening? Hello? Eric, this better not be some kind of joke. I'm telling you, the museum is going to be pissed. Who's there? Who's there? Stay away from me. Stay away from me.
Ooh.
Well, one thing I'll tell you, that is some outstanding voice acting right there.
Yes, I mean, yeah, you do a great job with that.
I may not be a big fan of the production, but like, I got to tell you, I give you everything I got, Eric.
And we do have a special guest.
That was awful.
That was great.
I mean, that was terrible.
Fantastic. We have a special guest this year.
Sounded good when it was coming out of my mouth.
Do we say who it is or no? Should we let that be a surprise for tomorrow?
No, that has to keep that a surprise.
Okay, special guest.
Our special celebrity participant.
Yeah, who's part of the show.
You said when you contacted and said what we were trying to do, he was like, absolutely.
All in. The special guest was all in, which is pretty awesome.
This all came about 3 years ago was the first one because John Green used to do on the Greenhouse. He used to play that old-timey Halloween radio show thing, right?
The fog that would turn people inside out.
Yes, and that inspired Eric to write his own, like, old-timey themed radio show.
We inspired us together to do this.
I am a mere participant in this and a reluctant one at that.
So, yes, we've done this. Is now year three. It's now a tradition.
So, year one was the smoke.
And year two was Santa Claus.
Which was Eric's, like, middle school? Was that your middle school?
Yeah, I was in seventh grade.
Middle school writing assignment where he turned Santa Claus into a murderous, like entity in some kid's dream.
Kind of like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, very
similar. Nightmare
on
Elm Street.
That actually was pretty solid.
Yeah, see?
He took his middle school piece and then adapted it for a screenplay.
Yeah, and Pancake.
An audio play.
Pancake produces the absolute you-know-what out of these and turns them into gold. So the third one is tomorrow.
How much time are you spending on this back there?
Good question. Altogether, I think I'm about 3 hours in.
So we're measuring the time that we've asked producer of Wisconsin's Morning News, Greg Pancake Hill, to work on this project in hours, not minutes.
You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to post a picture of the, like, audio waveform, the full project of what it looks like.
The mosaic.
Like. Yeah, the mosaic picture. Beautiful. It's all colorful. It's all color coordinated. There's little indicators. So I'll post that on social media just so you can get a firsthand look.
I get chills just thinking about it.
So what are you not doing that you should be doing while you're working on this?
Oh, I'm doing everything else also. So it's been a week. Yeah. Also, Election Day coming up.
Right. Oh, by the way.
So 8:40 tomorrow on Halloween morning here on Wisconsin's Morning News, the debut of Solomon's Shovel. All right.
I'll take this, baby. 8:40 on Wisconsin's Morning News. I want to quickly double back to the update on the story from Washington State and Oregon on the ballot drop boxes that were tampered with, vandalized. In one case, a number of ballots were damaged. Other cases, just a few. And there were efforts to reach out to voters who may have had their ballots damaged so that they will still have an opportunity to recast a vote if their ballot is not readable or still good. The update today from, was that ABC that we heard from?
CBS.
CBS report that might tip a hand in terms of the motivation here.
Yeah, apparently police in Oregon and Washington both say they found the words "Free Gaza" on some of the devices found at the scene.
An official in Clark County in southwest Washington state says 475 damaged ballots were recovered from a ballot drop box in Vancouver that was burned early Monday. Election workers will begin gathering voter information today and will contact people about getting a new ballot. Some ballots were destroyed. It's not clear how many. Incendiary devices attached to the outside of the boxes also damaged three ballots at a box in Portland, Oregon. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
So everyone's interested in learning the motivation. Why was this done? Everyone's hoping it's the other side that did it, right? So if you're on the right, you're hoping that, as this would suggest, these are radical leftists who wanted to cause this damage. If you're on the left, you're hoping that it was crazed Republicans who don't like drop boxes who are damaging these ballots and the drop boxes. Just because it's said that doesn't mean we know for sure. Also could be a diversionary tactic. It could be the opposite and meant to suggest one thing, but it's not actually the other.
And that's what one of the sources was saying, that it was unclear whether these markings reflect the views of a pro-Palestine activist or if it was an individual trying to manipulate existing divisions in the U.S.
Right. Or I think that was your other point the other day. Maybe this is someone who's not politically aligned one way or another. They just want us to fight.
Yep. Just wants to sow chaos and cause disruption, which, by the way, you're going to see and already have seen elsewhere as well. Disruption seems to be the motivation for a lot of people.
The sole basis for the bots and trolls out on social media that they don't have a political ideology. They don't care one way or another. They just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
And in this case,
the Joker.
Yes, literally. 8:42 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Thanks.
I think this update is somewhat alarming, and I don't even necessarily mean in a scary sort of way, just like an alarming in, like, hey, this is going to happen maybe quicker than we thought, and all of a sudden, the future is going to be here.
Eyebrow raising for sure. Let's get to it.
If my intelligence is artificial, then why am I smarter than you?
All right, so you remember when Elon Musk unveiled and Tesla unveiled those robo-cabs a couple of weeks ago? About these cabs that could take you, Uber-like vehicles that could take you from place to place without anyone inside them. They'd just be robo-cabs. He also unveiled robots as well.
Oh, hello, John.
How are you? That's crazy. I'm talking to a robot.
Yeah, so these robots that looked very futuristic, almost looked like from the movie iRobot, that Will Smith movie. They came all walking out, and they, like, were just talking and just... Yeah, just normal beings.
They
that were
sort of
walking
upstaged
around.
The event.
Yeah,
didn't they?
Really
like this
did.
Was supposed to be about the cars, but all of a sudden there are these robots walking around with normal people voices interacting, and folks are like, "Oh,
right,
you
want
to talk about the robots here?"
So Musk making news again. Now he spoke at the 8th Future Investment Initiative conference, which is being held in Saudi Arabia this week, and he talked about when those robots are really going to be big.
Every country will have AIs or multiple AIs, so. And there will be a lot of robots.
There'll be a lot of robots. But we had
way more robots than people.
Said there are way more robots than people.
I think by 2040, probably there are more humanoid robots than there are people.
By 2040.
What's the math on that? 8 billion?
So there'll be at least 10 billion humanoid robots.
Wow.
priced between $20,000 and $25,000, he said, by 2040. So is that 16 years from now?
Plus, in 2040, that's going to be the equivalent of about 10 cents.
But here's the, yeah, right?
Right.
Here's the thing.
20K, I guess.
Is that. That's when he says there'll be more robots than people. So that's 16 years from now. Okay, well, when will these robots really start to become a thing? Like where they're doing the stuff, where they're walking around your house, protecting you or doing work for you, running errands for you. When are they going to be smart enough to be able to handle some of that?
I think it'll be able to do anything that any human can do, possibly within the next year or two. And then how much longer than that does it take to be able to do what all humans can do combined? I think not long, probably only, I don't know, 3 years from that point. So it like 2029-ish, 28, something like that.
Whoa. So they'll be able to do just about anything, he says, by 2028 or 29. That's very quick. That's just in a couple of years from
now. Seems like lightning fast acceleration mm-hmm. from where we are now, but
yes.
Like a long way from where we predicted we'd be. Remember in Rocky when Paulie got a robot for his birthday?
Oh right, yep. And it like kind of
boom. What was that? Rocky IV, like mid-80s, right? Height of the Cold War, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that thing talked to Paulie and
That's
brought
right.
him stuff.
Yeah, you're right. And it like was on wheels or
right.
whatever, kind of like the robot from the Jetsons, almost.
Yeah, right. Looked exactly yeah. like that. So in the mid-80s, we were thinking like, oh, this is going to be in our future very soon. It's been a long time. But all of a sudden now, this feels like lightning-fast acceleration.
Bullseye.
Yes. So here's what else he has to say. So Musk also made news on, okay, well, is this good for society? Or, well, you know, is the Terminator thing going to happen? Are they going to turn on us, singularity or anything like that? Is it going to be good or bad? Here's what he said.
It's most likely going to be great, and there's some chance, which could be 10 to 20%, that it goes bad. The chance is not zero that it goes bad. But overall, one could say that the cup is 80% full is one positive way to look at it. Maybe 90%.
Maybe 90%, he says, it'll be good there at the end. So he says it can't be 0%. So you could read that a couple of different ways. That could just be someone whose, you know, brain is too big and he's processing and like, well, you can never say 0%. So, okay, let's say 80 or 90%. It'll be great for society. But he didn't say 0%, which means there's still a percentage that anyone who's working on this, knows about this, is studying this stuff, expects that there could be something that goes wrong with these robots.
I picked up on a couple of things. Musk just has an interesting way about speaking, but, you know, most likely going to be great.
Yeah.
No, it's most likely going to be great, but there's a chance that it goes bad. And that it goes bad. What does goes bad mean?
Not my problem.
Right. I don't know. I'm just making this stuff. Maybe it goes bad. Right. And goes bad could mean, like, they don't really do all the things that we want them to do, or they cause other problems, but all the way up to and including Skynet.
Right. If that's the worst, then what's this half worse? It won't do the things you ask it to do?
I don't get paid enough for this.
Well, you can't walk the dog
right.
anymore?
They just start shutting down. Right. That could be goes bad.
Mm-hmm.
And
Eesh.
Again, we kind of joke about Skynet and Terminator and whatever, but
no, it's a real thing.
It's out there.
Yes. And you have to assume there are bad actors, that not everyone is going to be for the betterment of humanity.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that, deliberately designing not nice robots.
Right, yes, right. Mm-hmm. Yes. And by the way, and another thing too, who says that it's good for one person to be able to do all this stuff and become a trillionaire with Tesla? Like that, people argue all the time that Apple has too much control with the phone and all that stuff, and that there's other phones in the market that don't seem to get as much clout or attention or whatever. Can't the same rule apply with robots? Why do they all have to be made by the same company when you argue that might be better if there's a variety of different companies that produce these types of humanoid robots?
Well, and everybody's into AI, so they're going to try to figure out their ways
right.
to incorporate that into the technology that may or may not be a robot doing the laundry at your house. You let the robot watch your kids?
Oof. I don't know. I mean, actually, like, change
your
diaper.
Not, you're not home, and your two-year-old is, and you're going to run to the store just and leave child with robot.
Oh, geez. I don't know about that.
Well, although Eric, there's an 80% chance it could be great.
You know what, though? People, right? You could argue that people do that now because they just leave the TV on or hand them an iPad and they walk away.
Dog will watch them.
All hail Elon, our supreme leader.
Yeah, what if he just creates his whole army, Debbie?
True, he's got the money.
What if there's, what's the, what was the Star Wars? Order what?
Order 26? The Prime Directive?
Yeah, what was the order that turned
Order
it all nuts?
Order 66.
Order 66, right. That was it.
I knew Adam would get
what
it.
What if there's an Order 66 that's all built into these?
Yeah.
Again, go ahead and laugh at me. You laugh.
Stop laughing.
Right. I'm not laughing.
Why are you laughing at me?
See?
I get it, man.
Your grandmother would be so proud of the man you've become.
Oh, thank you. Yes. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. We do have some delays. Eastbound 94 from about 76th Street through the stadium interchange on eastbound 94. Southbound on 43 backing up from just south of Silver Spring down to Capitol Drive. And then off the freeway system, we do have a crash that we're working on. Highway 18 or Blue Mound Road westbound just west of Glenview Avenue. Left lane is blocked on westbound Blue Mound Road. So be careful with that one. Give yourself a little extra time to get through that. I'm Debbie Lazaga with your WTMJ Johnson & Sons Paving Time Saver Traffic.
Oh, hello, John.
How are you? That's crazy. I'm talking to a robot.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast is sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Here's what I got for you today. Could tie a record again. We did it yesterday. Hit 81 degrees yesterday. That tied the record. And today's record high is 78, and that's the predicted high as well under partly to mostly cloudy skies. Some rain tonight. Rain and storms and a low of 64. Chance that some of those showers linger into Thursday. And then Thursday is when we see the temperatures start to drop off. So we get down to we have a high temperature of Thursday on Thursday of 67 degrees, but things start to drop. And then Friday's high, only 52. So if Vice President Harris is planning an outdoor event, which we don't know yet for Friday, a little bit chillier proposition if that's 6, 7, 8 o'clock and you're outside on Friday.
Either way, both candidates in Milwaukee at the same time Friday night.
Buckle up. Today, former President Trump in Green Bay. NFL Hall of Famer Brett Favre is supposed to be a part of that. Mumford & Sons headlining the musical acts that will accompany Vice President Harris at her stop at UW-Madison. Big concert today. So, right, that thing starts at... Yes. That thing starts at 4 o'clock. It's supposed to... She doesn't speak until after 8.
There's no way it's going to be going strong for that long, right? That's a long time to...
Well, if you just came for the show, right.
You roll in that early for the speeches? Like, are they... Outside the rest center right now for tonight?
Could be. I think it's doors at 2 o'clock for that event for a 6 p.m. appearance. So there's the line, and then there's the line to line up in the line. 8:57, we've got WTMJ Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi. That is next.